I do believe that God has God's mind is set for tonight. I believe I had intentionally planned on preaching something completely different. I was praying last night and I felt like I had found something, and I came here tonight and I was praying on it before church, and I feel like God just kind of took me in a complete different direction. And I believe that there is something that is going to happen here great tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's get in our Bibles and let's turn to Daniel chapter number 3. Amen. Daniel chapter number 3. We're going to be going to verse number 14. It says, and I know I've preached from this passage before, but there's a different angle I want to go at it. It says, verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden images which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." I kind of find that statement a little comical, because he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But then he says, "And he will deliver us out of thine hand." So whether he deliver us from the fire or we die to the fire, we ain't going to have to deal with you anymore. We will be delivered out of your hand. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I'm going to go over just a couple of more chapters to Daniel 10 and verse number 12. It says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Amen, amen. I've struggled with the title. I don't feel like I have a very good one tonight. It's not very creative. But I just want to preach to you for a little bit here tonight. I will not be intimidated. I will not be intimidated. Will you put your Bibles down? And before we go to the Lord in prayer, I want us to really focus. Y'all know I'm not a long-winded preacher. We won't be here long. But I want you to really focus. If God has something he wants to say, I want him to say it straight to us, God. Deliver your message to us, I pray. Oh, let's pray to him right now. Oh, can we lift up our voice as a church body? Come on, young and old. Everybody, let's lift up our voice. Oh, God, we praise you, Jesus. God, we praise you, Jesus. God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Amen, Amen. There are many voices in our lives that matter to us. Many voices. There are voices of authority. There are voices of our friends. There's a lot of voices in our lives. Some voices of authority could be a police officer. If you've been pulled over, you have to pay the ticket, or however it might be. There are voices of authority, whether it be just the government as a whole, those who hold and maintain rules over us are voices in our lives. Amen. There are voices of friends. Sometimes friends have very impactful voices on our lives. Sometimes friends' opinions don't matter. They're just friends and we like to hang out with them. But I can testify and say that I have a great friend. There is a friend who I always his words matter to me. And what I really appreciate is on friendship is they don't necessarily shut off your voice even if you don't agree with them. They'll listen to it. That is the sign of a good friend. Best possible voice that a married person can have is their wife as well. The wife is, if she is in tune with God, don't ever count out your wife. Amen. That is one thing that I'm still working on learning, as December will be 5 years. But I have learned from watching my parents that there are things that my dad has wondered and he's questioned, and he's gone to my mom and he's asked her opinion. And I have seen time and time again my mom be pinpoint accurate. I can't tell you the amount of times that when we were younger, and I'm not happy to say this, but when we were younger and we were doing goofy decisions, doing goofy things and sneaking behind our parents' backs and doing things we shouldn't have, it's as if my mom already knew. One, she is so suspicious already of anything and everything, it was almost impossible for us to get away with anything. But anytime we were up to something, she knew. It's as if she knew without even asking us. And she would go to my dad and let him know, and they would come together. I mean, they would find out. It would make it to the surface eventually. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen, amen. But voices, there are many voices. Probably the most important voice of them all is the voice of God. The voice of God is the most powerful voice of all the voices. I know I've also preached about this in the past as well, but God is an omnipotent God. There is unlimited power behind our God. And what I love about God is it is just the power of his spoken word alone. The power behind the voice of God is something that is amazing and spectacular. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we continue to read about it and we see that the creation is formed with just the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God. And we can go further on and we can see how miracles transpire by just the voice of God. Psalms 29 and verse 3, it says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Amen. The voice of God is a powerful voice, and it still holds power to this day. In John 5 and verse 8, we see that God speaks to the lame man. "Hey, take up thy bed and walk." To this lame man who had been lame for many years, and every time the angel come and troubled the waters, he had no man to help him in. But with just the spoken word of God, That man stood up, took his bed, and walked right out of there. You can see another time when the lame man's friends lowered him down through a roof. Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And we see that there was a bunch of controversy going on, but he then turned to him and said, "Take up thy bed and walk." It was still the spoken word of God that showed power and provided healing to these people. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus' name. And Mark chapter number 10 in verse 52. This is one of my favorite stories, and I feel like I always turn back to it. And it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we see how blind Bartimaeus is asking, hey, God, God, pay attention. You know, hey, I'm over here. And he said, the phrase evades my mind. I apologize. But he's crying out to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. And another part that I want to point to this is that he is crying with his voice. And there was immediate some intimidation. There was some people pushing back saying, shut up, blind Bartimaeus. Hold thy peace. Keep quiet. He has no time for you. But the Bible even says, if you go and look, it says, with a much more loud voice, he began to cry out to God, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And we see the results, because God walks over to him. And with the power of his voice here, he restores Bartimaeus' sight. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, miracles do not happen by coincidence. Miracles don't happen just because, but it's because there is a connection between the natural and the supernatural. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that connection is our voice. Our voice. If we can get this down, if we can get it to where we can use our voice, if we want to see anything happen in the supernatural, if we want to see revival in New Life Tabernacle, if we want to see miracles in New Life Tabernacle, we need to cry out with our voice. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell y'all how I was kind of looking, and like my angle was for preaching before I came to this part. And it was like, oh, let God speak to your situation. Let the voice of God, you know, pull out a miracle from you. If you need anything, just let the voice of God do it. But I feel like he changed over, and we still need the voice of God so we can have healings. But we need our voice to reach from the natural to the supernatural. If you expect a miracle, if you want to see a change in your life, maybe you're going through some things in your life, it's not going to change because you just sit there and show up to church. But something has to happen when you call out on the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. I want to talk about several more voices. The next one that I want to talk about is the voice of our pastor, and I want to stop here and just kind of like I'm not going to talk about this or preach this just because the pastor is my father. If I was anywhere else, if I had any other man pastoring me, this is my full belief. This is how I believe it needs to be. But the voice of our pastor is probably the second most important voice in our life. After that, the voice of God. Because the Bible says that the pastor, he is the shepherd of us. He watcheth over us. And I believe I got Jeremiah verse 3 and 15. It says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And 1 Peter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am I also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Excuse me, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. The pastors are shepherds, and they watch over us. They can see danger in the future. That passage might seem familiar or where it's at, because the next verse says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto that elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, but if you look even further in that same passage, I don't find it's nothing in the Bible is a coincidence. But later on, just I believe it's two more verses, it talks about be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, which we've been hearing an awful lot about, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. But a couple verses and before that, it talks about how we need to submit ourselves to our pastor. Amen, amen. And I'm not here to re-preach what pastor has been preaching, but it is very easy for the devil to try to override the voice of authority in our lives. I'm not trying to skip ahead or anything, but it is very important, because there's times when the pastor can come forth to the pulpit and begin to preach, and then it can fall upon, and that's where we've been hearing is recognizing in order to resist. But if we're not resisting, if we're not hearing what the pastor is preaching, how are we supposed to be able to recognize, to resist? Our pastor is coming day in and day out, praying and watching over our souls, preaching the word of God to us, what he feels God has laid upon his heart. He is giving us flags and warnings to recognize, to resist, and we better listen to that authority in our lives. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's very important to line up with our man of God. The Bible, let me find in Hebrews 13, it talks about how our pastor is going to be the one giving reports over us, for they watch for our souls. And right after that, it says that he may do it with joy and not with grief. And then right after that, it says, for that is unprofitable to you. That is unprofitable to you. That's why we need to make sure. We need to make sure that we are not causing any problems. I am preaching to myself right now. If pastor is coming forward and he's preaching that we need to step it up in prayer, I am not excused from not stepping it up in prayer. It is my job. It is our job as the body, our responsibility to come forth and step to the cause, because God has given him that word for us here tonight. Jesus. Oh, can we worship the Lord right now? Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm preaching about the importance of the pastor's voice in our lives. But again, our voice is very important, because I use these examples because we have been hearing a lot about them, and it's a prayer and of worship, and we've been hearing them over and over and over again. And what that tells me is that we still have room to grow. We're not exactly where God wants to get us. And so pastor is urging us, leading us, trying to get us there. We need to listen to those words of God coming from our pastor's voice. We need to heed and step it up. Our voice is just as important as pastor's voice in pre-service prayer. Our worship is just as important as pastor's worship in pre-service prayer. It cannot be up to him alone. It cannot be up to Sister Cowan alone. We got to rise up to the call. Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The next voice that I want to talk about is the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. Don't cross these up. But God's voice is the most important. Our pastor's voice is the next most important. So those are the levels of importance, right? But this third kind of voice, the voice of the enemy, is probably one of the most, think about it with me, but powerful voices, because it is very easy to hear the voice of the enemy over the voice of God. The enemy tries to make his voice sound louder than the voice of God. The enemy tries to make his voice sound louder than that of the pastor. I know it's right because I battle with it too. I battle very hard with it. But when the pastor is preaching, we need to step it up. We need to do something. Oh, I know we can do better in prayer. It's the voice of the enemy that's going to come around and say, not you. You're good. I think I hear you enough. You're fine. It's for someone else across the church. And he's going to come over you across the church and say, hey, it's not for you because I think I hear you, but it's for this man over here. And he's going to start trying to override the voice of the pastor. He's going to override the voice of God. We've got to beware and recognize. Again, we're recognizing the enemy's voice. Oh, we can't let him take us. Jesus' name. Oh, can we pray right now? Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, come on. I believe this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. How are we supposed to war with weapons? But we can war with our voice. If it comes to it, we got to cry out to God. Do I have anybody willing to do that with me tonight? Can you go to battle in the spirit with me tonight? I'll lose attraction, lose your distractions. Go to war in prayer tonight. So that's it. Keep it up. Come on. Come on. Oh, this is where I believe God wanted. Oh, Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, come on. Everybody praying. Oh, I have a little bit more, but I want us to focus on this. I believe the enemy has controlled us long enough. He's controlled our voices long enough. It's time to take over. Jesus' name. Oh, if we can all stand here tonight. Keep praying. But there's one more thing that I want to say. And y'all have already heard it already as well. And it's what Brother Narlock said. I know I wasn't here. But he preached about how Satan is the prince and the power of the air. The prince and the power of the air. And I believe that he knows he can control us if he can keep our voices down. He knows he can control what kind of power goes through this church if he can keep us quiet. He knows what he can do by ruling the air. In Jesus' name. Oh, but I believe when we all bind together, if we can get our minds focused, anything can happen when we start to break through the air. Anything can happen when we don't stay intimidated and we begin to lift our voices to God.
Jesus' name. Oh, that's it. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not going to be easy to break through, especially when Satan is the prince and the power of the air. It's going to come with the fight. It's going to come with pushing. We've got to persevere. Oh, yes, where are the mothers of Zion who would travail? Come on, men. Come on, men. We can push.